Okay, we had the call drop, but this happened. So I was right at the point of just asking you if in your neck of the woods, if you're seeing that people have almost like a learned helplessness or who cares, or they just are not knowing how to talk about if they are sick, what to do to stay kind of protective and safe. Are you finding that?
I think that a lot of people are just to the point that they are acting as if COVID does not exist any longer. So, you know, we still require masks in our offices, and that is a big deal to some people. But it is clear that people are just sort of done with precautions. You know, they don't think about when they go in a gym, they're sitting next to people, and our numbers are high. And again, like you said, people aren't getting as sick, but COVID is not without consequences. So I think it's hard because COVID also has become sort of a political topic. And so if you're one who brings it up, you get far sort of extremes in responses at times. And I think that some people are just not willing to do that anymore.
Yes. So first of all, you are very spot on. And when you just said that people are just done with COVID, I am going to give a personal share. I had been fortunate to be able to do telehealth. You know, I finally went on a first trip. Everyone's like, oh my God, Denise is getting on a plane. They know how conservative I had been. I did end up getting COVID, like many people listening. I got it after air travel. I was wearing a mask. I think I did get a little lazy right at the end. I was in the back of the plane and I might have taken it off just for a little bit, but I got COVID. I got my medical treatment. I don't want to go into that because I don't want people to start feeling, oh, Dr. McDermott's on this. I did what I felt was needed for my health, recovered well, but then I had this, I guess I want to say a myth busting, you know, so sometimes if someone's just had a cold or they've just had the flu, you're like, oh, you have immunity. And everyone, that's kind of what the CDC has been saying, or we all have this, I don't want to say false hope, but essentially I had it in June and recovered very quickly, did decide to go on Paxlovid. It worked great. I just had that metallic taste, did not have COVID rebound. I swim 6 days a week, went back to business as normal. And then my son got it mid-August from his stepdad traveling from Canada, international travel. My son's stepdad wears an N95. He is the most careful. He and his girlfriend, they don't drink, eat, or anything on the airport. And I know I've flown on a plane in July and people aren't even wearing masks at all. So somehow this variant of COVID is so contagious that my son got COVID. And I have to tell you, Joyce, I was taking care of a teen boy that wanted his mom. I kept a distance, but I did not do the quarantining of him like I did of myself. In June, my son did not get COVID from me, but I, as a mother, he wanted to hang out with me. So I was hanging out from a distance, but he was still touching everything. I should have kept him in his room, but I am guilty as a mother and a doctor of thinking I just had it. I'm not going to get it again. And I didn't do as many of the double masking. I just didn't do it. And then I got COVID. And I have to tell you, Dr. Joyce, that my son and I had a big talk that if either one of us has a cold or strep throat or anything, you know, from now until however long it's going to be, probably always, I will, since it's going to be easier for me, I will quarantine even if he's the one sick. Because COVID is not like the flu and not like a common cold. We don't know enough about COVID. And the telehealth doctor, and then I want you to weigh in. The telehealth doctor, when I was, you know, talking with her the second time I had it, said that some of her colleagues have had it 4 and 5 times. I know patients in my practice have. I've had very healthy people have long haul COVID. So I just think that we need to have what I'm calling health integrity. Maybe you and I can unpack what that looks like. But can you relate to any of this, what I just shared, or have you heard stories?
I mean, so one of the people who worked in my office has long haul COVID to the point that she's no longer able to work. And so I have a healthy firsthand experience of neurological consequences from long-term COVID, which as a psychiatrist who my brain is very important to me, scares me to death. And so I probably still do more precautions, but I will say I have a child who's in middle school that I'm not stopping him from participating in sports and the things to make himself feel okay. Because I've also seen the flip side of people who have not done well because of all the isolation.
Yes. So
I think it's hard because I wish we could just write, this is exactly what everybody should do. And what I've finally come to terms with, and whether my doctor self likes this or not, is everybody's going to do what they think is right for their family.
Yes. And I want to, I love that. Maybe we can come up with this, like a health integrity framework, and give different scenarios and we can go back and forth. But I want to just cite what you just said in the article from World Health. You know, it said loneliness, fear of infection, suffering and death for oneself and for loved ones, grief after bereavement, and financial worries are also the stressors that are leading to anxiety and depression. So it's a big bundle of why is there an increased 25 increase risk across the board. And then also it talks about, you know, young children being more at risk for harm, suicidality. So this all, this data that the World Health Organization is exactly paralleling what you and I are talking about. And I have to tell you, Dr. Joyce, I really think that as a mother, I talk to my other friends that are mothers, I'm proud of how I just took care of my son. I think he got better quickly. I think he needed my nurturance, but then I have to do my own health integrity and go, whoa, Denise, you don't get cavalier about this. You do want to protect your brain. You do want to not get healthy. So I've told myself, I don't want to get a COVID a third time this year. And I, what health integrity looks like when you say that it's not one size fits all, I think people live in different regions of the world. People live in different situations where they're providing for their families and there's no mask mandates anymore. So I think sometimes people feel peer pressure if they have health issues or if they're the ones wearing the mask. It's almost become like back in the teen years, well, why are you wearing a mask? I, Joyce, when I was running errands yesterday, I was the only one wearing masks going into like drop off a postal, do this, go there. And I have to say, Denise, it's your own. I want everyone to look at their own health integrity. You have to do the lay of the land of your physical health, your mental health, your financial health, and also protecting. Like right now, a scenario for me is I'm invited to an outdoor event tonight, which I have it all planned. I'm doing another COVID test today. My friend that I'm driving with is going to do a COVID test. She's in the healthcare field. We can't expect everyone at the party to do this, but I did talk to the host just to let her know, because I think a lot of people think if they had it this summer, they can't get it again. And a lot of people going to the party have already had COVID, but it doesn't mean out of 29 people going to an outdoor event, I think the numbers are good. Someone's got it. So my health integrity plan for tonight is to go to an outdoor one-on-one socialization with a friend that I'm going with to have a deep like social connection, be her Uber, so to speak. I went and got my own car cleaned because my son and I had just, you know, we're testing negative for over 8 days now, but still got it cleaned. But then I literally thought I need to go to this event because it's a very important event to my friend, but don't go long. Just start at the beginning. I've decided I'm going to stay outside and then I'm going to leave. So I had to make a big decision because tomorrow I'm seeing a friend that's, you know, 78 and then my mom's coming in next week. So I think people need to do their own health integrity check of what are their own physical symptoms, who are they going to be around with. And then I wanted to talk with you and I'll give you examples, but see what you've done on how to talk about it with people in a way that creates neutrality and not some divisiveness about mask or no mask or you're overreacting.
Well, I think that that is a very difficult thing to do. I'd love to say, oh, here's how you do that. Here's what
I've got examples, but I want to see if you've run across this and needed to talk about it.
Well, one of the things that I have done is, for example, I had a gentleman in my office who was not wearing his mask, and I asked him, you know, have you been fully vaccinated? He sits back farther from me. And he was like, well, I don't believe COVID is real. And I said, okay. And I said, well, I'm asking you as a courtesy, because it's a policy in our office to put your mask on. And he was like, well, this is stupid. And I said, so, you know, let's unpack what is so hard about this for you. And, you know, we had a very interesting conversation, but at the end of the day, he really didn't like that somebody else could tell him he had to wear a mask. And that pushed buttons for him. And I was just like, you know, that's just interesting to me, because to me, a mask is not a big deal. But to some people, it's a very big deal and a sign of something bigger. And I think that we as a society are, it just seems like people are looking for conflict right now and struggling.
Thank you for saying that. People are looking for conflict. So how do we have health integrity discussions? And this goes back to, I need to say this, this is the embrace your neurostyle and beyond. And the word neurostyle for me, everyone, and for those listening that love it, and I've actually just, someone in India just said, Denise, I love it. The word neurostyle is that we all process and perceive information in our own unique way. And we're multidimensional. This is biological, psychological, social, cultural, spiritual, and then sixth sense intuition. So if people are wanting to pick a fight or have conflict, how do you honor and have health integrity with each person's unique perception of the universe, the world, and their health?
I mean, sometimes I think it is, how much do you fight? You know, if you know someone is, so for example, I walked into a large grocery store with a mask on and somebody like made a sheep noise to me.
Oh my goodness. Are you kidding me?
No, I am not. I'll be honest. I walked to the back of the store and I called my husband because I was very distraught by that. And it was
Joyce, can I just say something? The way I'm hearing this for the first time, this is where my empath level hits the roof in protection of anyone that's being called anything. You're being called a sheep. Someone's making a noise. You know, this can happen with racial profiling. This can happen with, so people are trying to just go, you're just going to the store to buy something. You're on the front lines as a doctor trying to keep yourself, you know, people don't realize that doctors that are on the front lines are there, and they're, if they aren't wearing the masks and then they get so many more people sick, then we become super spreaders. And so this idea that you're off work and you're just going to do a normal go get some groceries task, and to feel like personally attacked. So I just want to validate when I heard that and then you were distraught, I was feeling like deep compassion for you that day. And I'm like sending love back to you at that moment. I know you're strong and you're like a tough woman, but it doesn't feel good.
Well, and it was sort of a lesson to me of how deeply some of this lies for people, and what buttons it pushes, because this was like an elderly man who did it. And I was like, what is it in their life that would make them, I mean, it's not somebody I knew, you know? And again, I know that sounds very, I'm a psychiatrist, that's what you do. You know, you try to make sense of something that really is senseless. But what it also taught me is, I don't know that I'll ever change that man's view on anything with COVID, but my job might not be to always change his view, but to accept where he is. Now, that doesn't mean I have to take risk with him, but it also probably means I'm not going to change his risk level.
So I love this. This is, I had no idea this was going to go to this point, but it's such an incredible example, because I like to talk about awareness, self-love, and altruism. So this awareness factor, if you're out there and you're heading into work and you just recovered from COVID, and you are feeling like you want to protect your family, everyone, or maybe your kids are going back to school and you're going to email the administrators and say, what is your policy? make sure to feel like, number one, you're not alone. And number two, have an awareness that your perception, your health integrity, your mental health is going to possibly be different than many. And that you have to listen to your own inner guidance, your own intuition, your own self on keeping yourself safe, your family safe. And what you just said, Dr. Joyce, about this acceptance, I think acceptance and then still stay in integrity of your own health. But then the other thing too, is I'm hearing, I feel like if we go even deeper, I have compassion for different viewpoints. So sometimes I might have that original, like, ah, you got to be kidding me. And then I think, OMG, okay, this is what we're dealing with. And then I think, because you and I are fortunate that we're being confided in with people's inner worlds, that we know that different people have different levels of neurostyle flexibility versus rigidity. So I think let's talk about that, because the mindset of anyone, whether it's racial profiling, COVID, or anything, does influence health integrity based on your own, all those multidimensional perspectives.
Absolutely. And I think that that's where all of this gets complicated.
Yeah, you know, thing. This is where I just want to, okay, if you were here and someday I hope to have, I would be like, okay, Dr. Joyce, is this when we take a break and we just do our lattes? And we're like, okay, everyone, this is getting super serious. So we just want lattes and we're going to go on our little lazy river here. We'll be back in five, everyone. Because we don't have it figured out.
That or you throw something at me. Either one is probably.
Right. And I want everyone to realize that, you know, Dr. Joyce and I, although, you know, we're the ones that are being sought after, and maybe we could give some people some good hacks and tips and tools for mental wellness, because I'm sure that's what we do every day to help others. I'd love the listeners to get that. But I also want everyone to know that, remember that we're all here on earth having a human experience, and we need to have a real awareness and compassion. And if you started thinking about that other human being, I spoke to someone on the phone recently, and she told me that her insurance, she had pre-existing conditions, really bad lungs, to the point when she had COVID, she couldn't breathe. And she was so afraid to go into the hospital because she's like, they're going to put me on a vent and I'm going to die. And this was this summer. This wasn't even before the, so even with the current vaccinations and boosters, I have data, everyone. This isn't just something, you know, you're reading in a news article. This is someone telling me, I could not breathe, Denise. And she told me all the hoops because the doctors are so burnt out in her neck of the woods. I don't want to say which medical thing, because I don't want to make it about that. They didn't have enough doctors and primary care doctors and ER doctors for her to get seen as quickly as she would have wanted to. So now she's looking at changing insurance. And then I sat there, and because besides my Western MD, I was giving her like intuitive healings, giving her different options for care, breathing techniques, medical providers that she could get the help she needed. So she's not in the stress of what happens if I get it and I don't get the treatment I need. I don't, if people do want to go on the Paxlovid, can they not get it? Because I got it really easily. I had this link to this one telemedicine and I got it right away. It worked for me, but you're seeing in the news, people have rebound or it comes back. So this health integrity and having compassion that not every person has the same mental health acuity. Not everyone's lungs are the same. People have pre-existing conditions. And you said something at the beginning of the show in part one that kind of dropped off, that it's also become very political. Like, you're a wimp if you believe in COVID, or you're a wimp. Like the what happened to you in the store is exactly what's happened to.
Right. Yeah, I wish there was just, I think the other thing that also I want to say, sort of put a little shtick in for the doctors and nurses too, that the people who are showing up to work are working really hard for the people they're seeing. And the amount of just abuse from patients has also increased. And again, I understand, like, when people are sick, it's hard and they're angry at whoever happens to be sitting next to them. But as someone who treats some of those people, it also is, some of it is just completely inappropriate and scary.
Yes, I actually had someone that's on the front lines as a cardiologist. I actually did throw this piece of paper out because it was so hateful. This was last summer when there was everyone was getting that first round of vaccines. And then the people that were extreme anti-vaxxers were putting different paraphernalia on the doctor's windshields and comparing them to the Nazis and Hitler. And I was making a home visit for this family because it was just the right thing to do. And I feel very fortunate that she trusted me, and she's such a very, very lovely doctor and beautiful family. And she just needed someone to hold that sacred space to say, can you imagine what it's like to not only be on the front lines helping to save people's lives, but then to go to your your car and have such a hateful message, like the doctors are the killers now because if they are anything to do with the vaccines. And so I just want everyone to realize, wow, Dr. Joyce, I did not know we were going to go to this level today. This is pretty intense, but it's like reality, right?
Well, and again, it's a reminder that every story has two sides.
Yes. 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 Because this is what I want to say. I have compassion too. When you think about it, the person that's putting that on the windshield does think, their belief system thinks that this is a conspiracy, that it's all made up. And by the way, I believe that the truth always lies somewhere in the middle. So for me as a doctor, now I'm going to take this away from COVID now and away from this windshield event and away from your clinics. I think when we look at health integrity and how do we make decisions for ourselves, number one, you need to be aware of your own unique neurostyle. You have to look at where you were raised, what belief systems. There are certain households that don't believe in mental health. There are certain households that don't believe women should be doctors. There are certain households that don't believe that there's equality for all race. There's certain people that have mental health issues that start at a much younger age. There's some people that are resilient and they've had so much happen. So being aware and taking inventory, awareness has to do with looking also at your own unique perspective and what biases you might have. So when I'm looking at someone that doesn't believe in something I do, I try to, like, number one, like, have compassion, kind of assess where they're from, and then have, okay, well, how can we communicate? How can we talk? And with health integrity and like people realizing we all have different perception, I think when it comes to health, you need to get data from as many sources as possible. Like I was telling my friends, I didn't think I was going to get it again. So Dr. Joyce, I was trying to like call myself out on why wasn't I masking and doing as much precautions? Cause I didn't think I was going to get it again. Cause I swim 6 days a week and so I just wanted to make everyone know that I don't think I handled that this round of, the virus. I'm just going to call it the virus now in my home to the best I could have. Cause it's almost like I had learned helplessness and I just wanted to hang out with my son. So I just wanted everyone to know, I think it's important that we have compassion for others and ourselves.
Absolutely. I think the other thing that is important is just because you know your own style and your own stuff doesn't mean that that applies globally to everyone around you. And I think that's one of the problems we're having is that people make their own decisions and I am in complete, you know, you get to decide what you do with your health based on all the things you've talked about, but that's just your decision for you. Other people might have other decisions based on their internal style of things or neurostyle. And it's important to understand that all of those things, there's all a place in the world for all of us. And you don't have to push your style on somebody else.
Yeah. So I love this. So let's go into specific examples because I love it. I've been talking about the concept of, you know, when you and I are little kids and our kids are at school and the officer friendly or the fireman's there and like, stop, drop and roll. So then it's like health integrity, neurostyle, awareness, self-love, altruism. And specifically, I think that you need to stand up for yourself, but also have compassion. Like, for instance, this, if everyone tonight is like over the pandemic at this outside pool party, and they think they just all had COVID and they're going to all be super close to each other, like when people are going to concerts and that, and they just have the faith that they're going to be healthy and that that's what they want to do, I'm completely fine and happy for them. I think I would have done that had I not just gotten it a second time, but I have to then have conversations. I think we need to, like, I want to see how you coach your kids and how I coach my son. Because the way I handled this weekend is I talked to my friend that I'm seeing on Saturday that's of a different age range. And I told her how I was going to handle tonight so that she knew I was protecting our visit tomorrow and how we were going to do it. Now, I think because I'm a doctor and because you and I are front loaded with tons of actual seeing people have long haul COVID, you know, I had one patient have four family members die of COVID. I'm sure you have an uptick in people wanting to kill themselves during the pandemic. I do have great stories of people that are now sober off heroin, not suicidal, doing hybrid work, happy, well, and well-adjusted. But I think, Dr. Joyce, you and I come at it with a unique perspective of more options of what could go wrong than what other people have.
I would agree. And I don't think anybody's really, or not many people are really having the conversations that we used to have earlier in the pandemic as to sort of risk mitigation type conversations. I think those are very, very rare.
And I have to tell you, that's one of the reasons why I had no idea when I asked you to be on the show, we were going to talk about this and that I was going to have had COVID a second time. But I feel like it's almost like my having, it's almost like the prelude to going into the winter season. And for me personally, I would recommend that everyone increases, like looks at, because we're also, like you said, I wrote it down. We are done with COVID. Society, we are done with COVID, but COVID is not done with us. And the articles I'm reading is that we have no idea what the long-term effects are, multiplicity. They're saying if you have COVID more than once, you're at risk of a lot more health issues. So when I look at that as a doctor, I think I'm a mother, I'm a single mother. My goal is to stay on this planet as healthy and well and serve and help others, my family, myself, my higher power. But I have to look at the risks now. Risk mitigation means I don't want to get it a third time. So I got a 95 mask for when I travel in November. And I'm still going to, I did decide though to go to this event tonight because I'm going to use a little, like I use healthy profanity. I'm sorry if it offends you, but I do have the fuck COVID-19 mentality because it's like, we also want to still live our lives. So my risk reward health integrity plan is looking, I would recommend that everyone start, don't just put the blanket over your head, have more eyes wide open. Don't live in a place of fear, live in a place of data-based reality, get the science and know your region of the world, and then be able to say to someone with pride, like when I walked into the mail, something I'm like, oh my God, I look so healthy in the cutest little outfit yesterday. And I was wearing this mask and it looked like, here comes the worried one. I was like, almost like producing it myself, looking at me. And I'm thinking, no, you just had it, health integrity. And if everyone else isn't doing it, you know what you're supposed to do for your health. And if someone said something, I always like to have, you know what? Try not to get COVID a third time this year, everyone. And just joke, like, just kind of just, I want to say that when people are trying to pick battles, let's go through like coping strategies. Like when the person did the sheep noise for you, how did you respond or not respond to that?
I'll be honest. I just kept walking because I was in shock. And again, I was raised, you do not disrespect your elders. And so he was an older gentleman, so I would never say anything back. But it shook me in a way that really, I'll be honest, sort of surprised me. Because normally I would just blow those things off. But again, when you've been faced with a lot of COVID, when you are a caretaker for somebody who is at higher risk, you understand, I don't care if there's, I'm the only person on this planet who's going to wear a mask to something. If that's what I feel like I have to do, that's what I'm going to do. And I feel that very strongly, but I was not anticipating, if I'm not picking on you for not wearing a mask, why are you picking on me for wearing one?
Yes, exactly. I feel exactly that same way. So I want to say for people out there that have not, I think a lot of people that are like, the masks don't work anyways, maybe they don't work that great. You know, maybe my, you know, my son did get COVID from someone that was wearing an N95 that was so careful. So we don't know everything. So we're not, I'm not saying your perspective is, I don't want to wear a mask is wrong. What I'm saying is you have your data, your health integrity, your perception. And I had to say this, and I don't want to go into too deep because I want to respect all my loved ones. I've had these difficult discussions myself and saying, you need to know everyone. I have a unique perspective. I had a friend that was a 34-year-old doctor that got COVID before the vaccines were there, and his lungs and his mental health, he said, I had never experienced, Denise, anxiety. He said, I had mild anxiety, but his level of anxiety was to the point of something out of like a horror film with COVID. And he's a physician that confided in me. So I was trying to tell other people that don't believe in the pandemic or don't want to wear masks, because I'm still, a lot of people like, oh, I can't be friends with those people. Somehow, Dr. Joyce, I've been able to maintain relationships with people that have very different belief systems. And I have ways of talking about it that doesn't divide myself and them. I just know that I need to be a different health integrity around them. But I also am trying to have loving compassion. If someone lives in an area where no one they know really had it bad COVID and they just perceive it as like a mild cold, and they're doing all this holistic health stuff, which, by the way, I'm a champion of too. I'm a champion of what I call universal health, a combination of Western and Eastern holistic health. If someone has a perception and they've never experienced the level of trauma that I've seen of the deaths, the long haul COVID and everything else, and then they're just, it's also then politicized with all the new stuff and they're getting inundated with that, I have compassion and respect that they're going to have a different perspective than I do.
Absolutely. But the problem with the world we live in right now is everything is polarized.
Yes.
And so it there's no let's meet in the middle. I have great friends who, you know, we have very different views on politics, on religion, on different things in our life, but they're still my friend. We don't have to agree on everything to come together and have a discussion. And if we can't do that, then really we get what we're having right now. And that's all the rage and violence and, you know, just craziness, frankly.
Yes. So can I just, this is maybe a good way for us to kind of summarize, and I'd love for you to, so a big, big life hack, mental health hack, and my intentionality of the Dr. Denise show is helping people to not only change the way we think, talk, and act about mental health, but to realize the power of your own perception and the words, thoughts, and actions you do. So when I use a word like neurostyle, that everyone has a neurostyle. It's more neutral and hopeful. When I say health integrity, that is showing people that we all want to have health. These are unifying and more neutral terms, because the way we talk to one another can create and ignite more fear, more anger, and more divide.
Absolutely. And the world does not need any more divide.
No. Are there any last closing tips or anything, Dr. Joyce, in this discussion we just had that you would want to offer?
I think that probably the thing that I would encourage people the most is, as you figure out what your health integrity plan is to also figure out how to include as safe socialization as you can get, and trying to get some of the things you love back. Because I think this pandemic has worn us all out, and we've lost the ability to have fun and find joy in things in a lot of ways. And I think that's the thing more than anything, we cannot give up. We have to figure out ways to find hope and joy and love in our daily life for us to feel okay.
Oh my goodness, you're making me smile. I thank you because I feel like you're almost telling, okay, everyone, Dr. Joyce and I did not talk before we did the show, and I literally was possibly not going to go to this event tonight, but I figured out a way to have what I'm calling the health integrity to still have joy. And even last night, Dr. Joyce, we went and socialized with another mom and son outside at a pool because I just said, hey, we're 6 days of being COVID negative and I know there's COVID rebound. And so I think everyone just be kind and be loving and remember we're all in this together. Have your own phrases of health integrity or neurostyle. You know, those are ideas of good words and good choices, but remember you're your own best healer and don't ever forget that. Wouldn't you say that too, Dr. Joyce?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Joyce, where could everyone find you or are you on LinkedIn? How can people know a little bit more about what you're doing in the world?
Probably the easiest way to find me would be through our website of our hospital. It's Schneck, it's S-C-H-N-E-C-K, medicalcenter.org. And I'm in the mental health and wellness department. And that's probably the easiest way to find me.
And I want to just do a pause of gratitude for you, Dr. Joyce, and also a gratitude for everyone that's on the front lines. Anyone that's been on the front lines as a primary care doctor, mental health warrior, someone, a clerk, the post office, anyone that's out there, someone working at a restaurant, a teacher, an administrator, we are all in this together. And I just want to thank you all for showing up for one another and work and keeping society go. Thanks, Dr. Joyce.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.